Blog Talk Radio.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he has risen just as he said. That Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen.
All right, I'm on my phone, so hopefully y'all can hear me now. I don't know if you could hear me before because nobody was answering me. So I'm just going to do this, and then I know you can hear me. I don't know why. It's Easter. Why do I have to do this on Easter? I mean, come on. Oh, well, that's all right. We can handle this. We can handle this. All right, what I'm going to do to start the show right now, kids, is just, you know what led up to the day that Christ died, okay? You know that he went before the Pharisees and they judged him guilty just because they were threatened. That's my take on it anyway. And they arrested him. The Romans arrested him and took him away. And when he was in being heard, well, not heard because he wouldn't speak to the elders and the Pharisees, Peter was out in the courtyard. And it had been prophesied that he would deny Christ three times before the cock crowed. And he said, no, I won't do that. I would never do that. Well, surprise, surprise, he did. He did do that because he was just afraid of what would happen to him if he admitted knowing Jesus at that point in time. So, as it turns out, we know that they found him guilty and sent him to Pilate and Herod. And the guards that had been taking care of him, as it was, started to mock him. And they would call him names, and they would hit him and then make fun of him and say, well, who hit you? Who hit you? You should be able to tell us who hit you. But, of course, he wouldn't do it. He didn't speak. And when they asked him if he was the Son of God, he did not admit it. He said, those are your words. Not, you know, I'm paraphrasing, okay, because I'm not reading it. All right. At this point in time, start reading the account of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. And I'm going to start when he was taken before Pilate and Herod, okay? At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. If you are the Messiah, they said, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. They all asked, are you then the Son of God? He replied, you say that I am. Then they said, why do we heed any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king. Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? You have said so, Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no basis for a charge against this man. But they insisted, he stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither was Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, punish him and then release him. Hang on, guys. Okay. But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insisted, demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who had mourned and waited for him, turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people to these things, when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, God and said, "Surely this is a righteous man." But all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place. They beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. And that's where I'm going to stop, and we all know what happened. He was seen on the road to Emmaus. He was seen by the apostles that night in the room upstairs. And Thomas actually touched the wounds because he couldn't believe it. But then he believed it. That's where the saying, Doubting Thomas, comes from. So guys, we know what glory happened on this day so many years ago. And we know the wonderful, precious gift that we were given because of it. We have the chance of eternal life because Jesus died and rose again from the dead. Now they call it Resurrection Day, quite appropriately, but for such a long time it was Easter. I find it difficult to change, even though I know the new word is quite appropriate. But you know what? It's time to celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. Jesus lives again.
Christus Dominus, Christus Dominus, Hodie Resurrexi. Christus Dominus, Hodie Resurrexi.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sons of men and angels sing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Raise your joy and triumph high.
Hallelujah.
Sing ye heavens and earth reply.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Where thy victory, O grave.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I've always loved that song. It's so much fun to sing because it's so uplifting and inspiring, stirring, you know, all of those other words. Okay, guys, Dolly Parton, he's alive.
Barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. So we both ran towards the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high. 'Cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I had promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere, ghost shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I ever had just melted in peace.
I've actually sung that before, and it's just inspiring. I love it. I don't love that sound, but I love that song. Okay, here is Alabama, Because He Lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future, and life is worth living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon.
hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, that calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lived. And then one day, gonna cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with. And then as said, gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face.
Yeah, I think we all need to remember that sometimes. We forget that we don't need all the other stuff. Life's worth living just because Jesus died and he lives so that we can live. We need to remember that. And it's hard sometimes. All right. Elvis, Amazing Grace. love that when he sings that. That's so beautiful. Well, welcome, Sue. How are you doing, honey?
Well, I'm sorry I'm late, but these people here are slow cooking. So just finished eating, and sure was good, though. But anyway.
Well, you should have what just fry a couple eggs and have some toast, and you're fine.
Oh, Lord. There's all kind of stuff here. And anyway, I'm stuffed. So I happened to look at the clock, and I thought, oh, my God, it's past time for the show. But here
well,
I am.
Well, you made it. You made it for part of it. That's better than not at all. So we're all right. It's no problem. I've got another song here. It's called You Missed the Reading, though.
I read
about the trial, the crucifixion, and the resurrection from Luke.
Well,
but
I'll
you know that's
all
right.
I'll
you have a Bible. You know
on.
Where to find it. Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Let's play. Here's a song I've never heard before. I found it this morning. It's called Resurrection, and it's by a group called Revelation Worship. All right. Resurrection Day is Easter. And that's today. We are celebrating that today, the anniversary of that. It didn't happen today. It happened many years ago, but this is the day that we celebrate that every year. All right. Here's one by a group called Living Stones Quartet. He Lives. Just needed a little touch of country, so I've got Johnny Cash doing Gospel Road.
All right.
Yeah.
Two weary travelers from Jerusalem, walking with a stranger down that dusty highway. Two weary travelers from Jerusalem, walking with a stranger down that dusty road. And they walked another hour to Emmaus town, and shared their supper till the sun went down. When he broke the bread, then the word spread around that Christ was on that gospel road. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John told about Jesus on that dusty highway. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John told about Jesus on that dusty road, how his pillows were the stones where they laid his head, how the hungry 5,000 on the hill were fed, how they sent him to the cross, but he came back instead to walk upon that gospel road. Paul and Silas in the midnight jail were talking about Jesus on that dusty highway. Paul and Silas in the midnight jail talking about Jesus on that dusty road. And they sang out rejoicing and the jail split wide. The doors busted open and they walked outside. But they went back to preaching through the countryside and walking down that gospel road. So 2x2 and 3x3, they walked in his footsteps on that dusty highway. 2x2 and 3x3, they walked in his footsteps on that dusty road. And they died in shipwrecks and in lion's dens. Then they died on crosses and the spears of men. But when one fell back, two more would start again to walk upon that gospel road. Two weary travelers from Jerusalem walking to Emmaus on that gospel highway. Two weary pilgrims from Jerusalem walking to Emmaus on that gospel road. On the highway to Galilee is Emmaus town. It was here eyewitnesses saw him walking down. When the three broke the bread, then the word spread around that Christ was on that gospel road. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John told about Jesus on that dusty highway. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John told about Jesus on that dusty road. How his pillows were the stones where he laid his head. How the hungry 5,000 on the hill were fed. How they sent him to the cross, but he came back instead to walk upon that gospel road. Talking about Jesus on that gospel highway. Preaching about Jesus on that gospel road.
All right. And it's that time already.
Well, so, and I just got here.
Well, yeah. Because you was feeding your face, honey. That's okay. That's okay.
It sure was good. Now I'm so stuffed, I'm going to have to take a nap.
Oh, but I feel so sorry for you. Not.
Oh, Lord.
The one thing I missed about Easter is my family. Because it was one of the holidays of the year that we had all of our family gathered around, and Grandma and Grandpa would come up from Moscow, and we just, sometimes we had an aunt and uncle show up, and it was just like a family day. Not as much as New Year's Day or Christmas, but Thanksgiving was our big one for our family. I mean, we used to go to Grandma and Grandpa's for Thanksgiving, and you'd have maybe 45 people there.
Oh, my goodness.
And everybody, it was all family. It was all family, and that wasn't everybody. So, having a big family. And that's the thing I miss the most, living by myself, especially 2,500 miles away. There is absolutely no way that I can be with family on the holidays, and I really, really seriously miss it. So
that's
why house is for sale. One reason the house is for sale and I am getting out of here. I have got to be closer to my family. This is killing me. But anyway, that's beside the point. Right now, I want everybody to enjoy their Easter. If you haven't had your Easter dinner, enjoy it when you do. I hope it's special for you. I hope you're doing something, bitter herbs and unleavened bread like they do at Passover, maybe. I don't know. But there's just something about having a big old ham that says Easter or a roast goose. Now that would be cool.
Yeah, that's good too.
I can't do that kind of thing by myself, you know. And
yeah, that's too
my,
much.
My air fryer just won't handle it. So,
well,
anyway,
I'll send you a plate after a while.
Okay, no problem. Just throw it on over here. No problem.
Okay,
I'll catch it. I'll be out there with my gloves and I'll catch it. And so, anyway, guys, take what you've gathered today from the Bible reading or from the songs that you've heard and know the joy, know the specialness of the gift of the possibility of eternal life that, that God has given us and that Jesus sacrificed himself for to let us have the chance of. They don't require it. They don't say you have to do this because Jesus died for it. It's an opportunity for us. It's the chance of eternal life if we want to take it. And you know what? It's not work. When you accept that and you start following Jesus' way, you don't have to work at it. It just comes natural. And it's a wonderful thing. And you want to share it with people because it's filling you with joy. So if you gathered joy from this show today, you go out and you share it. Smile at somebody. Don't hug anybody you don't know. You'll probably get hit, but don't. Or reported, maybe reported, but give them a smile. You know, a smile doesn't cost you anything, and it lifts the spirit, not only for you, but for the person you're smiling at. So share it. Just share it. God gave it to you. Share it. And so on the way out, I'm going to play a song that's sung by We the Kingdom. And it's called God So Loved. Good night, everybody. See you Tuesday. Come lay them down.
Jesus is worthy.